Welcome to the session about the new Duty to God and Personal Progress works. And our presenters today are Laura Compton and Teresa Edmonds. Laura has a degree in journalism from Humboldt State. She's on the board of directors of Sunstone. She lives in Cupertino with her two sons, who are the same age as my younger children and adorable blonde. And not that you have to be blonde to be adorable. In her spare time, she reviews Mormon-related books, edits Mormon history papers, and is webmaster and spokesperson and general person of expertise for MormonsForMarriage.com. She's been in several ward and women's presidencies and is currently spending most of her church time on the Oregon bench. Teresa is a blogger and craft designer who lives in Modesto, California, with her husband and her young son. She's been in women's in various wards for 7 years. She blogs at Feminist Mormon Housewives, her personal blog, ReeSixon.com, and she's one of the permabloggers at beginningsnew.blogspot.com, which gives tips and various other things to young women's leaders from a progressive viewpoint. So, without further ado, here's Laura.
We have an extra chair up here. It's getting in everybody's way. So, how many of you are familiar with the Young Women's Personal Progress program and the new Duty to God program? These are our handy-dandy books. The Personal Progress program was just updated in the beginning of the year, and the Duty to God program, the books are hot off the presses. They started arriving in wards in July. And so I think we'll talk a little bit about the background of what's going on and kind of where they start and a little bit about the differences and what it means for the young people of the church growing up as girls versus growing up as boys. And we'll take a look at some of the places where we need to go from here. And Paula is my wonderful slide projector queen, so go ahead, Paula. The programs for these actually start in primary. They have a thing called Faith in God, and it's for kids who are ages 8 to 11. They do the exact same things, except for just at the very end. So they're always praying, reading the scriptures, keeping commandments, honoring their parents, paying tithing, going to sacrament meeting. They have to write their testimony down. They have to memorize the articles of faith. And then these are the two separate things that the girls do versus what the boys do. So both the boys and the girls have to read the family proclamation. They both have to read sections from the Doctrine and Covenants. And they both have to talk with people either in young women's, in the Beehive class, or in the deacon's forum about the different programs. The girls study the 13th article of faith and write in their journals about how they can serve the Lord as they stand for truth and righteousness, which is one of the young women's mottos. The boys, on the other hand, read about the restoration of the Aaronic priesthood, and they learn about fulfilling our duty to God as young men. And we can go to the next slide. The overview, so it's mostly the same, it's a little bit different. And that's where the gender differences start going. So the personal progress, they have lots of things. They have a motto, which is stand for truth and righteousness. Their logo is a torch that the motto goes around, and it looks kind of like a girl's profile. Their theme has, we'll talk about their theme in a little while. And they have value experiences. There are 8 values. So you have faith, divine nature, individual worth, knowledge, choice and accountability, good works, integrity, and the new one is virtue. And they have to do experiences, which is they have three things that are required and 3 things that they can choose or make up on their own that have to do with that, with faith. And we'll talk about a little bit of what those value experiences are. And then they have a project that they have to do for each value. It has to be at least 10 hours, and it can involve other young women, and it gives them an opportunity to do something more in depth and to create like a service project or to direct the other young women in their class to get their projects done. The recommended pace is to do 1 experience per month and 2 projects per year, which will stretch everything out so it takes about 6 years to finish. However, a lot of girls get it done sooner if they want to. They tend to come in to young women's as 12 and 13-year-olds really excited about it, and they want to get it done. So if they get it all done and they still want to continue with Young Women's, they can earn it. They can do the whole program over again and earn a second Young Womanhood Recognition Medal, or they can do some extra service and get a new thing called an Honor Bee. And moms and leaders also participate in the program, which is supposed to be an opportunity for the girls to bond with their mothers and for the leaders to kind of know what the girls are doing, and for the moms to know what they're doing. But the moms are not supposed to finish before the girls do. So, very important. Okay, so let's the Young Women's President. These are the things that she has written when they introduced the program. Some of the highlights that she had, that has a picture of the temple on the cover of the book, which is the focus of the new focus of the Young Women's Values Program. They really want it to be there. She was very excited that it's pink. And that's a reminder of that they're daughters of our Heavenly Father, and they have unique feminine characteristics, gifts, and roles. It's going to provide them leadership opportunities. It's real important for the young women to write in their journals. It's a big part of the project, is writing in their journal, both so that they can kind of have this self-expression, but also so they have a record of what their lives were like when they were young women. And it talks a little bit, the General Young Women's President spoke about the blessings of participating in the Personal Progress Progress Program, which include drawing closer to the Savior, having your faith and testimony strengthened, being prepared to for your own divine mission and role on the earth, that you'll have the sweetness of service and experience the joys of righteous accomplishments. You'll feel the promptings of the Holy Ghost, which will guide and teach you, and you will develop a pattern that will bless your life now and throughout all eternity. It's a pattern of progress and making and keeping temple covenants. A lot of the focus of the Young Women's Program is on preparation and on preparing to go to the temple, on preparing to be a wife and mother, on getting ready for the future. So now we'll take a look at the duty to God stuff really quick. It's very simple. It's not, there's not a lot of details in it. It says, you know, do this and do this and do this, and that's about all. So it's not a lot of specifics. It focuses on praying, studying the scriptures, and understanding doctrine. And the study of the scriptures part is, compared to the old Duty to God program, it's expanded quite a bit. And the Duty to God program has been completely revamped. If you're familiar with how it was last year, the year before, the last 5 years, it has taken away, looks a lot less like scouting and a lot more like just doing some real religious, organized, religiously focused work. It's very focus on doing priesthood work, on administering ordinances, on learning how to serve other people, on being a missionary. It's very integrated with the First Strength of Youth program. So the First Strength of Youth program has got 12 or 13 topics, like on things like family and friends and good media, making good media choices, and we'll talk about some of that. It's very integrated with that. They go hand in hand. It's focused on preparing young men to receive the Melchizedek priesthood. However, a young man does not have to complete the Duty to God program in order to receive the Melchizedek priesthood. It's very boy-centered, and the materials are very much focused on having the youth be the leaders, on the youth creating the programs, on the youth taking responsibility for what they're doing and for what they're being invested in to get things done. So we'll just go a little bit to the personal progress details. I'm not going to read the stuff that's on the slide. You can read that for yourself. But you'll see that it's quite involved for the young women. It has lots of talk about being beloved, having a sacred, glorious, noble purpose and responsibility. It urges young women to be influences for good, to acquire habits of prayer and scripture study, obedience to commandments. You're urged to lift and bless the family, other young women, and the young men with whom you associate. Honor your womanhood, support the priesthood, cherish faithful motherhood and fathergood. Choose goals which will cultivate feminine attributes and prepare. So this is, again, we're more preparing. We'll go to the next slide. We're going to talk about the message from the First Presidency for the young men, which is you have authority. You need to exercise that authority to bless the lives of those around you. Use the First Strength of Youth booklet to fulfill your responsibilities. Heavenly Father has great trust in you. You can see that the language is completely different here. We're telling the boys that they have opportunities and challenges. They are responsible for things that they're doing right now, this very minute, and that it's their duty to get it done. Well, young women's is talking about how important they are and how they need to prepare. We're going to go to the next slide real quick. This is the details of the required experiences that the young women's go through. So there are 18 specific scripture sites that they need to read throughout all of the standard words. They write in their journal. They have to talk with parents and leaders. Six of their projects require them to learn and prepare for motherhood. Five require them to serve others. Four of them require them to read the proclamation on the family or to work with other women or apply scriptures to their lives. You can kind of see how that goes down. So all the girls who complete this program will do everything that's on the left-hand side. And the optional value experiences are in addition. They may do them, they may not. But you can see there's a lot of focus on preparing for motherhood. There's a lot of focus on writing journals, on reading scriptures, on learning about things and preparing. Now, if we talk about value projects, just real quick, the next slide. It talks about how much time they're going to spend, and they can ask others for help. And there are suggested projects for every value, and they tend to be kind of involved, like gather your family history and write a family history, or learn about a homemaking skill and do it for a month, or set a budget and live within the budget for 3 months and then report on how that goes. But for the virtue project, the only value project is to read the Book of Mormon. Interestingly enough, the young men do not have to read the Book of Mormon before they graduate from the young men's program with their Duty to God award. The young women will have had to have read the Book of Mormon at least once, and most of them will have read it twice. So the value project details on the next one. The most important value project details for these are suggested activities for the girls to do. The one that came up most often had to do with developing homemaking skills. The next ones were reading scriptures, family history work, serving others, and then we go down from there, learning from older women, learn marketable skills, create, wear modest clothing, perform or display your artwork. There is a variety of things, but you can see that it's really kind of focused more heavily on homemaking skills and not so much on physical activity or getting an education. Although those are options, and the girls can create their own projects. So if they're looking at here, except for the virtue thing, of reading the Book of Mormon, they can create a project that really appeals to them. So on the Duty to God details, they're divided. So the deacons, the teachers, and priests each do a set of projects. And they have, first, they all have a spiritual strength section. Then they have where they learn about something relevant to spirituality. Often it's praying or reading scriptures. Then they have a section on priesthood duty. So the deacons are learning about passing the sacrament, and the teachers are learning about home teaching and preparing the sacrament, and the priests are learning about blessing the sacrament and continuing to be home teachers. And then for strength of youth projects, those are kind of the equivalent to the young women's value projects, except that there's an assigned topic. So for the deacons have an assigned topic, and the teachers have an assigned topic that they have to choose, and we'll talk about that later. They all follow the same pattern, which makes it very easy to remember. First, they learn about something. They do scripture reading. They might talk to an older person. They might do some research in a church magazine. Then they act on it. They create a plan, and they act on what it was that they learned. And then they share, and they talk with their quorum. They talk with their family members. It's very focused on getting them to talk about spiritual activities and spiritual things that they have done. As far as working as and applying the Duty to God program in their lives. And if we continue on to the next one, there are 22 things that they need to do as part of their Duty to God program. So 18 of those require them to read scriptures. They're also required to write in a journal. They're also required to talk with parents and leaders. These are kind of the same things that the young women are doing. They are asked to learn or prepare for fatherhood 3 times. And each of those 3 times, it's just kind of an aside. It's not a real focus like it is for the young women. They serve others 6 times. They will read the proclamation on the family. And The learning from older women is to ask your mom or your grandmother or some other woman you know how to treat girls. The old Duty to God program really had a lot of focus on respecting women and respecting girls and treating them well. It's kind of been toned down to just once, and it's for when the boys are after they're 16. So that's what the details are. More personal progress details. Some more required reading. So this is where the girls are reading. They're reading from the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, Paul Garrett Price. They read the whole Four Strength of Youth booklet twice, plus some specific sections that are on sexual purity and repentance. They have to find two conference talks on womanhood. They have to find two conference talks on patriarchal blessing, and they read the family proclamation again, because it's so important to know what your role is as a young woman and a mother. Then for the young men, you can see the young men don't have as much reading requirements, but this is a lot more reading requirements than they had under the old program. So even though they're only reading about, you know, four verses from the Old Testament, they really do a lot of reading the Doctrine and Covenants. The young men do, but mostly the Doctrine and Covenants that they're reading are the sections that deal with sacramental prayers, the priesthood administration, the oath and covenant of the priesthood, those very specific sections. Then the young men have to choose whether they're going to read The Living Christ, which came out in about 2000, and it was the testimony of the apostles and the First Presidency. And it's included alongside the Proclamation of the Family and most of the new materials, but everybody knows what the Proclamation is, and hardly anybody knows what the Living Christ is. And that's the one that's their testimony about Jesus Christ and his life. We'll go through, let's go just really quick past the personal progress details. The suggested reading for the girls and the suggested reading for the boys, along the same things. The girls have a lot more focus on this internal stuff, and we're going to look at the notes for parents and advisors, which is a couple more slides down, right there. So this is what parents and advisors are told about how to take care of the girls and how to help the young women through the personal progress program. The purpose, they are told, is to strengthen the girls' testimony of Christ, to strengthen the girls' present and future families, to prepare them to be worthy for the temple, to prepare them to be for their future roles and responsibilities. Young women leaders have a responsibility to introduce the program, provide support, and record and recognize the projects that the girls are doing. And the priesthood leaders make sure that the girls are attending sacrament meeting and seminary, make sure that the girls have read the Book of Mormon, and make sure that the girls are worthy to receive their Young Womanhood Recognition Award. The leaders are encouraging the girls to work on, are encouraged to work with the girls on the personal progress program, and the mothers are encouraged to participate. And one way for implementing that is to make personal progress part of both Sunday lessons and midweek activities. And that's really kind of how the personal progress program works for a lot of wards, that classes do things together. For the young men, they are encouraged to strengthen their testimony and relationships with their Heavenly Father. They are encouraged to learn about and fulfill their priesthood duties and to apply the standards in the Four Strength of Youth manual. So you can see we have the girls again being focused on preparing for the future, and the boys again, what you're doing right now to be good priesthood holders. They're asked to focus on what they're becoming, and rather than focus on getting an award like the girls do. The boys get a certificate when they complete each level. When they're a deacon, they get a certificate. When they're a teacher, they get a certificate. When they're a priest, they get a certificate, but they don't get awards and jewelry and scripture things. And that was a big focus on their implementation training, was that this was supposed to be a program that focuses the young man on doing something for the sake of getting it done and for the sake of learning to develop their spiritual strengths, rather than to get something to earn a merit badge or earn a reward. That kind of the work is its own reward. The young men are supposed to learn what's important and work with their quorums, and the parents should consider working with their sons and specifically ask their sons what the boys are learning. And that's important to kind of foster this intergenerational communication that's so hard to get with teenagers sometimes. If you have to do it in order to pass this off for church, maybe that's an extra excuse to talk. The videos that they have portrayed for implementing these programs really show that very well, the fathers and the sons interacting together. The young men's videos are very well done. The young women's videos leave something to be desired, but we'll talk about that later. And then they, by sharing everything they're doing, the young men are learning how to speak in public. They're learning how to strengthen both their own testimony and the testimonies of the young men in their quorum. And it's increasing their confidence and ability to speak about the gospel like they'll need to do as missionaries. Then in the young men's program, the actual quorum presidents are also given some instruction about what they need to do as leaders in their quorum. And it gives them assignments that you have priesthood keys. You need to use this book to help teach your quorum members. It puts a leadership responsibility on the young men who are in charge of their program. There is not an equivalent assignment to the young women class presidents, even though they kind of do the same thing. The young women's, go ahead to the next, the Young Womanhood Recognition Award, these are all the things they need to do. They have to go to sacrament, they have to complete the projects, read the Book of Mormon, do all these things. And the young men's requirement, we can just go ahead to get it, they don't have to go to sacrament, they don't have to go to seminary, they don't have to be worthy to be interviewed. They just, the review sections of each of their projects requires them to talk with an adult, either their quorum advisor or a parent. So it's a little, again, it's a different weight. There's not as much requirement. So where is this leading all to? Ideally, it's going to create young men who are missionaries, and it's going to create young women who are prepared to go to the temple, who are literate, at least aware of what's in scriptures. They will be good journal writers because they will have had to write in lots of journals. They'll be able to make commitments, follow through on them. They'll be very familiar with what traditional women's roles are. And they'll be able to set goals and achieve those goals if they complete this program. I think that it's certainly something that is well-intentioned, and it would be great if we could get the young women to focus on not just getting there to earn an award, but to realize that the service that they are providing is to not be self-centered like teenagers are so often. It's easy to be self-centered and think about yourself. It helps to get them out in the world. The kids are all online. The programs are all online. I think it's a good start there. For the young men, they're getting an emphasis on being leaders, on being teachers, on being missionaries, on, you know, learning to go home teaching, learning to work hard, learning about leadership, and not just reading about it, but actually doing it. I think that we don't have a good focus for the young women that's an equivalent. The young women don't go visiting teaching, and they don't have this kind of hands-on experience, so that when the young women turn into missionaries, they haven't had the chance to sit down and really talk to people about what's going on. The emphasis is definitely one that the young men are, and men in general, are leaders and teachers and missionaries, and they go on missions. One thing that was interesting in the implementation programs is that all of the young men, there's two videos that introduce the Duty to God program, and they're available on the church website. We don't have clips here. But all of the young men were wearing white shirts and tights whenever they were doing anything except for shoveling rocks. So while there may not be a uniform of the priesthood that's specifically written out, this is one of those unwritten rules. And apparently all good deacons' quorum presidents wear white shirts and tights when they go and visit their quorum members. And the young women leaders really like the color pink. That's the other thing that we learned. It's very feminine. So we're going to talk a little bit about personal progress strengths. We've talked a little bit. The parental involvement is important, but, you know, it's one of the fathers that I asked his impression on it. He says, well, there's no role for fathers in the personal progress program. There's lots of work with mothers, but, you know, what about me? I feel really left out. I think that it's great that my daughter is being involved spiritually, but, you know, what if I'm the one who's nurturing her? What if I'm the one? So he felt really bad that he got left out of that. It definitely instills the moral values of the church, and the requirements make it easy and routine, something that you can do together as a class. It makes it easy to implement, but at the same time, it doesn't really provide for people who are either way ahead or way behind. It's very much, you know, this is what you do. For the Duty to God strengths, it's very adaptable. It encourages the boys to be leaders, to be self-responsible. It encourages them to serve missions. It instills a sense of responsibility and dutiful importance. It's very multiracial presentation. You could not tell that it was made in Salt Lake City. You might think it was made in Mexico City or Guatemala, but they did. The church did a very good job of making both the books and the movies for the Duty to God not North American centric and not European centric. It was very classily done, and the young men who are in the video program are examples of the types of leadership that this Duty to God strengths are trying to get out. Now, if we talk about weaknesses a little bit, the personal progress focuses so much on the future and preparation that the girls kind of get lost in the present, and there's so much focus on motherhood and marriage that. Which is not something the girls really have a lot of control over, and so they can fall into a rut of, you know, what do I do if I get out of high school and then I get out of college and then I'm not married, and so that's a problem. That there's not a lot of role for fathers. There's not a lot of hands-on teaching, especially compared with the Duty to God program. The impression that people have kind of gotten is that it talks about being important without actually being important. And the rewards, you're kind of saying, tell the girls that they're valuable and how important they are and how wonderful they are, because they're not going to be able to understand that just by living their experience and participating in this program. Which, the opposite should really be what we're talking about, that they should feel important, they should feel valuable, they should feel like they're making a difference without having to be told that. If somebody has to keep telling you something, then it's not coming in through reality. The recognition, again, the young women, they get a necklace, they get a jewelry, they get scripture bookmarks for completing these. And everybody knows that it's important to receive recognition, but gosh, wouldn't it be better if, you know, they had actual recognition that was more public? The young women's program is very private, and the young men's program is very public, just like the rest of their church experience is. The Duty to God weaknesses... it's going to depend a lot on individual interpretation. And so each, not just young men's individual, but their wards and how they implement it. In some places where there's no scouting program and they've been using the Duty to God program in place of scouting, this is a huge change for them. The old Duty to God program had a lot of activities about seeking career advice, seeking education advice, being physically fit, doing a lot of things that we kind of use the scouting program for in North America. So that's going to be a big change for countries where they just have Duty to God. The excessive focus on missionary work and the neglect of father and husband roles is interesting, especially when you compare it to the young women. I was just down here at the South Visitor Center a couple nights ago watching the little advertising spots, and I realized as I was watching that every single one of the advertising spots that I saw was all about men needing to spend more time with their families. And there weren't any about women needing to spend more time with their families. And for all the emphasis that the church gives on recruiting men who are going to spend time with their families, we see in the Duty to God that they're asking people to serve others and to learn how to be home teachers and learn how to be priesthood holders, but not learn how to be a father and change a diaper. So we have this balance. So what do we do now? Where do we go? The thing that's going to make a difference for these programs is how parents are involved. We need to know what's in the program. We need to know how to help the kids. And we need to know what's being focused on so that we can know our own children and the young men and the young women that we work with and say, you know what, how about if you try it this way? Or how about for one of the programs that you're making up, how about you try this experience or that experience to stretch them and not just have them follow the same plan, especially if they are not the kind of kids who like to wear white shirts or who like to focus on learning how to sew clothes or who don't want to focus solely on on these very prescribed gender roles, give them the opportunity to soar when they need it. And I think that with that, we'll let Reese talk about Teresa. I'll talk about some of the other information we've got.
Good morning. I'm Teresa, but I will answer to Reese. It's come from the same place. I'm really pleased to see so many of you here today. I worry about this group of our youth so desperately, so it just fills my heart to see that so many of us care. One of my blogging duties is at beginningsnew.blogspot.com, where we blog for young women's leaders, and there we spend most of our time complaining about the ridiculously dated lesson manuals. So I am absolutely overjoyed to talk to you today about personal progress and duty to God, where I can almost be entirely positive. If you read the lesson manuals that you hear from each Sunday and then read these manuals, you would wonder if they came from the same church. It is a gap so wide, it is nearly schizophrenic. And I think that it's a tragedy that they spend so much more time with those lesson manuals than they do with these. The lesson manuals have gone largely unedited since the 1970s. And these programs have been under nearly continuous tweaking since their respective inventions. I really don't know the specifics behind the division of labor at the church office building, but the sense that I have, the impression that I've been given from, you know, friends of somebody who knows somebody who works, you know how these things go. What's been told to me is the auxiliary presidencies, the general board, has more control over these programs, and the correlation department deals with the manuals. And so if that is the case, and the auxiliary presidencies don't have much to say about the Sunday instruction, and this is where they get to implement their input, if that is true, then I think that these programs represent our leaders' best efforts towards progressivism. In describing the new booklets, the Church News quoted President Ellen Dalton as saying, "We are excited about the color pink because we think these young women are pink. They resonate to the softness and the femininity of that color. We want them to understand that they are soft, they are unique, they are feminine, and that they don't have to be like the boys." Many of us around the blogger circle read that with a heavy sigh. Soft and pink. There are very few young women of my acquaintance that I would describe as resonating to the color pink. So reading those words, I was pretty nervous. I was expecting some pretty hefty gender essentialism, and there's no escaping. There's still some pretty hefty gender essentialism here. But when I got the new booklet in my hand, I was surprised to see, you know, a different picture emerge if you squint. Many of the changes were minor, a word here and a word there that added clear explanation I should say that the version of the personal progress program that preceded this change was heavily influenced by this culture that we're still kind of emerging from, of this feminist backlash. And so I'm just learning from, you know, other more versed scholars than I, that versions of the Young Women's Personal Progress Program before this were actually, even though they came from prior generations, were not as essentialismly inspired, motivated, as this one that we are dealing with, or the one that came before it. These were very reactionary to the culture our church was reacting to. And so while my positivity might seem a little on the ridiculous side, it is steps in the right direction from a major pendulum shift. So many of those changes that were implemented were just a word here or there adding clear explanation or context. For example, the old Faith Value Project number 2 just read, "Think of faith as a seed as you help plant, care for, and harvest a vegetable garden." And the New Way reads, read Alma chapter 32, verses 28 through 43. "Think of faith as a seed as you help plant, care for, and harvest a vegetable garden. Record in your journal how you can nourish, care for, and strengthen your faith." So the task itself is no different, but it now offers more time in the scriptures, and it draws a clear connection between the object and its intended lesson.
There was also a lot more emphasis on the Savior, which always makes me happy because it is so woefully lacking in the manuals. As an example, one of the integrity value experiences, the young women were asked to read about the examples of integrity set by individuals in scriptures, and a movement that kind of makes my mind hurt. None of the listed selections included anything by the exemplar, with a capital E, Jesus Christ. Kind of a, you know, missed opportunity there. So this was added to one of the integrity experiences. The Savior is a perfect example of integrity. He did what he promised the Father he would do. Read 3 Nephi, you know, selection of Christ visiting America. A couple of experiences were limited altogether and replaced with experiences that make more sense, to me at least. One of the knowledge experiences asked young women to develop the skill of storytelling. As much as I personally appreciate the art of storytelling, which my iPod that's stacked with thousands of endless podcasts can attest to, I'm kind of an addict, but I never really got what it had to do with anything or why it was so valuable to make it into our personal progress program. Artist Partial, after, you know, the research expert, she did some research and told me that it's a nod to history when, as part of opening exercises, the young women would learn to tell a story. It's, you know, that say a prayer and someone will tell a story. It seems a little random to me, but that's what they did, and so apparently that is a holdover from those years. But that task has now been removed altogether and replaced with learn the skills of first aid and develop a list of basic supplies for an emergency. So to my mind, this is a welcome change because it adds something practical that teaches self-reliance. There's often this holdover, genteel, Victorian strain that runs through young women materials, or maybe it's a return to that thought instead of a holdover, with this subtext that women don't need to be practical. Even if it's in their, you know, accepted sphere, they don't need to be practical because that's the man's job. So while storytelling is an art form that I enjoy, there are plenty of opportunities throughout the podcast to... throughout the personal personal progress program. Oh, a tongue twister. To participate in the arts, and really not enough to learn a skill that's going to benefit the young woman, regardless of whatever future path they may embark upon. A knowledge value project required girls to take the Teaching the Gospel course, which is usually offered as a Sunday school option. This was removed and replaced with learn about the proper care of clothing, including how to wash, iron, and make basic repairs and alterations. Apply the skills you learned by taking care of your clothing. Now, while I wish that everybody had the opportunity to learn to teach, this particular setup never seemed to be logistically possible. Why would the Young Women program get to infringe on how they spend their Sunday school time? And while what they replaced it with is squarely within accepted gender roles, it's also a practical life skill. You know, just anyone could benefit from learning how to take care of their items. And these skills, they're going to be better off knowing that whether they join the military or have 5 kids or some combination of the two. And when you're planning activities, it can be really difficult to find something that will benefit everyone, and not just the people who like to sew, and not just the girls who are outdoorsy, but something that everyone would be better off knowing. So even though it's very, you know, traditional, I do think it's purposeful. Within each value, there are 3 experiences that are mandatory. Within each value, there are 3 experiences that are mandatory, and then a menu of 4 experiences, plus the option to customize 2 more experiences. So 6 total experiences they have to choose 3 of. So there's 3 mandatory... Oh, so it's complicated to explain. Okay, there's 3 mandatory experiences, and then there's a menu of 6 that they choose 3 more between. Does that make sense? And so some of the items that were formerly mandatory were moved to the optional menu category. So to me, this seems like kind of a subtle reprioritization. In the knowledge section, it used to be optional to memorize the 13th Article of Faith and then attend a performance of some kind and use the standards of the Article of Faith to evaluate it. Meanwhile, it was mandatory to memorize 2 hymns and learn to conduct them. Again, I wish we all had a better appreciation for music, but I do think it's a higher priority to value critical thinking skills as we teach the girls to choose for themselves what they find of good report. There are so many rules governing these teenagers that I love just that tiny little shift to teach them to take accountability for their own decisions instead of just doing what somebody instructs them to do. The one I find really exciting, but it obviously doesn't take much when it comes to the church and gender issues. This was a mandatory experience from the individual worth section. Learn the importance of planning and preparation. Read Doctrine and Covenants 88:119. In your journal, make a list of your hopes and dreams for your future home, family, and education, and some important things you'd like to accomplish in your life, including becoming a wife and mother. Then record a plan that will help you achieve those goals. Share this plan with family member, leader, or friend. That has now been moved to the optional section. And in its place is a task about patriarchal blessings, which is far more universal. But not only did they make that one optional, but they revised it. There's been a language change. So instead of learn the importance of planning and preparation, it says, you are preparing now to fulfill a unique mission on the earth. So that always seemed to suggest that if you planned and prepared hard enough, you could just enforce whatever you wanted your life to be. That carries the message with it that if you don't achieve those hopes and dreams that you so carefully planned for in your little young women's journal, then it's your fault because you didn't plan and prepare for them enough. And I can testify from sad personal experience how damaging and just undoctrinal that message is. But I think it comes through pretty loud and clear. The new language emphasized the unique path that each girl will take. Instead of just giving them a checklist for their future, it implies they need to discover what that unique mission might be. For most of them, it will still be marriage and motherhood. You know, that's not exactly something I think women usually need to be convinced about. But for girls who have a more traditional path, it still allows them some flexibility. It flips that usual thinking on its head. Instead of being forgotten by the Lord, they are just following the unique mission that the Lord has for them. The change that is my favorite because of my own personal background is one of the many, many, many make something for your future home projects. From Divine Nature, it says, using an art or handicraft you have learned, make something for your future home. This has been replaced with using an artistic skill or handicraft you've learned, make something for your current or future home, recording your journal how being creative is part of your divine nature and how sharing your creativity has blessed others. So the addition of current may seem ridiculously subtle, but I think it does take the message off takes the edge off the message that the girl's whole life builds up to marriage and motherhood. It changes the task from being about developing a hope chest to learning that they are now and always will be in charge of their immediate environment and should have the skills to make that an inviting place. I also love that additional sentence placing all those crafts we make